You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
So sometimes you have to bend the rules.
Hey, start the podcast.
Start the podcast. Go ahead.
What was you like? You're the guy.
You want me to start the podcast? What is the theme of this one? What are we saying? You guys always make me nervous. I'm so nervous around guys. What's the theme for today? What are we calling it? Kevin Miller?
Kevin Miller, say no more.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me? I'm just here.
I don't know. I just got told to be here. So here we go.
Kevin Miller, say no more.
Okay, you ready? Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody. Here we are. Welcome back to Inspire Excellence with Troy McClain, Tommy Ahlquist, and a super good friend, Kevin Miller. Today, we have Inspire Excellence with Kevin Miller. Say no more. Kevin.
Oh, welcome. Welcome, everybody. I feel like I've been here before.
I feel like so nerve-wracking.
Deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
Well, Troy, how are you?
I am well.
It is so nerve-wracking. I feel like you guys were like the married couple in the podcast.
Right.
And I was the mistress.
Right.
That got wooed.
Right.
And now he puts me in a bad spot because
I'm glad you're sharing all this. I don't know what this has to do with it, but please continue to reinforce how you've replaced me. Really appreciate it.
Welcome to the show, Kevin. Right,
exactly. Thank you, Troy, so much. Because it's all about you.
Thanks for taking awkward and making it super awkward.
Yes.
Hold on. I'll just lower myself like I did last time. Please. I am sorry. This is about say no more.
Sure.
Hey, I'm not talking anymore.
Kevin, thanks for being here today.
A pleasure. Pleasure to be with both of you guys. Appreciate it.
For all of you that know and love Kevin, huge following out there.
Massive
following. In fact, you had me come on through the holidays and then they aired an hour segment we did. And ever since then, everyone, hey, I heard you on the radio. I think your reach is out there. I think you do a tremendous job. Tell us, let me ask you a couple of questions first. You spent some time down in Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Doing some substitute work. I can't wait to hear about that. But a little more on Kevin. As good as a job he does, professional in the radio business, in my mind, when I think of you, I don't think of talk show Joe. I think of community guy, right?
Sure.
And Miller's Mission. I think of Boise Rescue Mission. I think of I think of the work you do for.
I'm with you.
Seven cares.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I wanted to say.
Troy just went along with us on that one. But
yeah. I did. I just, because I'm
not. But it never stops, Kev. And so you do good work. You set a great example for us. It's good to have you here and kind of excited for what we're going to talk to you about today.
Yeah, I can't wait to answer questions. It's so much easier to ask them. But it's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, both of you have set such a high bar when it comes to the community. You know, we're always inspired by our friend Troy and what he's done, what he continues to do to inspire us personally, professionally. It's great that you guys are doing this podcast. And Tommy, there are a lot of things that you do for the community that people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very humbling to be here as a guest. It really is. And, you know, you just try to reflect the values of the people in the community. You have to earn it every day. And to me personally, I haven't done a lot. I need to do a lot more. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm here is, you know, you and I had a conversation in the hallway about being real. And, you know, it doesn't get more real than our friend Troy here. But, you know, people look at me and they go, you know, gosh, if only Kevin would really love himself.
Mm.
And, you know, for years I've had this mistress called the radio and I love it. And I, you know, it's like that old patent line. I love it more than life itself. And it's gotten me across the country. It's cost me my first marriage. It's cost me, you know, homes, almost my livelihood, almost literally being on the streets. And it's a mistress that I've never been able to get a hold of. And a lot of that has to do with not only doing what you love, but food. I'll explain. A lot of people may or may not know that when the Duke Lacrosse case broke, I broke that story locally. And I had an opportunity to go to the network. Now, and again, I'm going to try and lighten the mood a little because my man, Troy, he's ubiquitous with being NBC and all that stuff. And I was doing hits on the Today Show.
Yeah.
I think I did like 6 hits in one day. And I was very close to signing a deal with CNN with Nancy Grace. And Nancy Grace and I, you know, we all have chemistry, but there's a very special chemistry there. But what kept me from doing that was my love of the food. Mm. And I would go do a couple hits and then a couple TV hits. Let's just be clear. I know you were going to ask the follow-up, so
no judgment.
Thank you. Appreciate the judgment-free zone here. We're safe zone. Safe. Spire Excellence, we're safe. So I would go and I would go eat a bunch of fried chicken because
yeah.
that's how I would reward myself. And to be in television, you have to be uber thin and uber this. And I can remember my last time in New York, it was 06 at the Time Warner building where they shoot everything, Anderson Cooper and all that. Mm-hmm. It's the oddest darn thing. And this is a cuss-free zone where at the end of it, they never really met anybody like me on the Nancy Grace show. Nancy Grace at the time was very argumentative, but there was a chemistry there. And the, at the end of it, because they just threw me in with whatever topic, literally they were chanting guest host, guest host. Mm. And their producer, Dean, wow. who created Larry King, said, here's my card. Look me up. And, you know, I kept doing live hits and traveling across yeah. the country. But, you know, to be that, you have to be thin. You have to be svelte. You have to adhere to a standard. And I never did. The food just was there for me.
So I've never heard this story.
Sure.
And we're going to get pretty deep into you today. But walk us through what that felt like. Because here you've got dream opportunity.
Right.
Right. In front of you.
Right.
And you know the conflict there of, okay, if I do this, then mm-hmm. I'm going to have to do something drastic in my life.
Right.
And was it a conscious choice? Was it fear of failure? Was it self-doubt? What caused you to say, I can't give it up?
I think a lot of things. For me, my day would start, whether it was in North Carolina, I had a staff of 40 people. I would get in at 5 and I'd leave at 8 o'clock at night. And you were always on and doing live hits. And for me, food has always been a reward. I've never drank. I've never smoked mm-hmm. dope. I've never had hard liquor. I can tell you the type of wine I had at church and when I competed as a bodybuilder. But to get to that level, you have to sacrifice. And I've always been this guy that, you know, how did this guy get on the TV? How did this guy get to Iraq? How did this guy? It's just kind of an unusual circumstance where you just grind it. And I didn't understand that to get to that level, they're not going to accept you. And I was about 150 pounds lighter than I am now, mm-hmm. but you had to be a certain look. And I wasn't willing to go that way. And it's probably fear of failure.
Is that societal though? Yeah. I mean,
no, it's me. Yeah. I mean, you know, here's one thing that I'll say, and no one can blame anybody but me for where I'm at. And I mean, we joke that I walk around with the kickball tournament thing on because it's comfortable clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm to blame for where I'm at health-wise.
But one of the things I want to, because we're going to get into what you're going to do this year, which I can't wait, but rewinding what you just said, not many of us face that dilemma you had. For example, in the ER, I can't tell you how many night shifts I'd get home at 3, you know, the late swing, you get home at 3:30 in the morning. I'd walk in the house, hadn't eaten anything all day. I'd go to the fridge and literally open it up and whatever mm-hmm. I found, and we had a TV in our kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I tell this story because it is true. I can't tell how many nights I would watch an entire episode of SportsCenter standing in front of the TV, just mowing whatever I could, bowl of cereal, leftover lasagna, you know.
You're gorgeous.
Ego, what I'm just gorgeous. And right. that was my thing. And I would actually catch myself when SportsCenter would start again. I go, I've been standing here right. for higher an episode. And I watched my weight change. But for me, I didn't have the physical thing, right? It's a mm-hmm. little different because there was never, I could be an overweight ER doc. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. But it's a little interesting to me.
Well, he's in the entertainment world.
In the entertainment world, there's a different level of scrutiny mm-hmm. that I hadn't yeah. thought of until now.
Sure.
So you were faced with a choice that in many other professions you wouldn't be. But what you just described of rewarding yourself with food and being the last person you take care of as yourself.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. pretty common for a lot of professionals out there right. who may be hearing this today.
And I'd even spin it a little bit and just hear, because this is literally the first time hearing about this. I don't know, were you rewarding yourself with food or punishing yourself with food?
Reward.
It was all reward.
Job well done, man. You go get some. There's a place in the Carolinas called Bojangles. Tailgate special, sweet tea, potato wedges.
You've been there.
Yeah, you have a good time. Right. And you're like, yeah, job well done. And then you get up at 4 a.m. and do it all over again.
So, Kev, flash forward to today. And I will tell you this. But when we came in here today, we were starting to talk about diet.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Troy had a big health scare this year.
Sorry, brother.
Atrial fibrillation. He's had multiple procedures and is kind of all of a sudden at about our same age going, wow. And then I was clipping along. The last thing I would take care of is myself, whether it was sleep, exercise, what I ate.
Right.
It just wasn't a priority because it couldn't be, right? So it wasn't so much, I think, a reward for food, but it was just, the excuse was I'm just too busy. I can't fit it in, right? But all of a sudden you have a health scare like that and you face mortality and you go, okay, now I'm 51. I've seen what my coronary arteries look like, both on an angiogram and when they opened up my heart and he could point to the cholesterol in my artery on my heart.
Right.
I got to do something. So you come here today
because sure.
we had a conversation in the hallway and I actually have not talked to you since then.
Right.
So conversation Kevin and I had in the hallway was, I've never seen you be like this actually, because you're kind of the jovial, you're the up guy. You're Kevin Miller.
Right.
You're the guy that's out at the Best Boise Rescue Mission, sleeping in the parking lot, raising money. You're the guy lifting up the homeless person. You're the guy smiling, cracking jokes. You're the guy on the radio that everyone listens to because you make their morning better. And here in the hallway was my good friend saying, and I'm ready to do something different.
Sure.
What's the spark? Because for us, wow, mortality's hitting me. Is it mortality? Is it timing? What is it?
You know, this isn't a Dr. Phil show, but I will say this, that, you know, I wish it were that. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I've had plenty of health scares. When I went to Iraq, came back, walked from Haley to here, 320 pounds, okay, in 7 days. Mm-hmm. My ankles were like softballs. Now, Dr. Ahlquist here will understand what I'm going to say here in a minute. My blood pressure 3 days after the walk was 235 over 135.
Wow.
Still didn't get the message.
Yeah.
You know, they put you on the beta blockers and everything else. You work out, play the, you know, the Eye of the Tiger, mm-hmm. You lose a little weight. Right.
It's number one song to go to.
Right. It's the young children's won't get it, but we can relate to that. Right. And you, you know, you drop a few pounds and I didn't get the message. I had to go to the ER 3 years ago because I had a pain right here. They did the MRI at St. Luke's and all that, found nothing. It's because of inactivity. I still didn't get the message.
Yeah.
And a couple things. You guys are very successful businessmen. So I've always had the best before picture ever. And I'm going to do it this year and I'm going to do it. And I didn't. And I haven't. And I won't. And I saw a video of a young man by the name of Jared Lorenz, the hefty lefty, 500-pound quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We talked about
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I saw the video of a guy that was the most transparent thing I've ever seen in my life, where he was All-American at Kentucky, Super Bowl champion, 500 some pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Hefty lefty.
Right. And then he put himself up on a YouTube series and for 6 episodes. And the guy was doing his very best to try to lose weight. And it was so gripping. And then in the end, he didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dang, man. And I thought of that. And I thought of the goodwill that he had conveyed. And I see how people, when I went to Iraq, I mean, they look, I'm kind of like the guy in the, not the, the guy in the closet, I guess it's something else, but.
No judgment.
Right. Thank you, Troy. I appreciate that. you know, the guy that everybody likes and maybe would never say this because we don't fat shame anymore is feel sorry for him. Hey, here he is. And I see people when I go to schools, all this, they look at me wobbling around. And then I'm looking around at places and there are a lot of people like me. And then you read about the obesity thing. And this is trying to go on a journey and see who we can bring along.
But you got to have...
I'm going to interrupt him here.
Yeah, I just got it.
Because Kev, listen. So I'm going to preface what I'm going to tell you with okay. Kristen Armstrong. Because right. One of the things in the hallway you said was, hey, I'm ready to do something.
Yeah.
And I said, great. And I immediately thought of Kristen, pivot. It's not just a gym. It's a change of, there's dietitians, there's lifestyle. Sure. Hey, we got a way to put some people around you and help you. Doctors, evaluation, the whole thing. And that's immediately where I went. And I know you met with her.
I did.
She called me and she said to me, and if you guys know Kristen, she doesn't hold any punches. Mm-hmm. She says, Kevin doesn't get it. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm listening to you today and I'm right. telling you, you don't get it. And I don't want to be harsh, but you're such a giving dude. You are one of mm-hmm. the kindest. I've seen you in situations. I've seen you in tents with homeless people mm-hmm. and you are rescuing them. You're giving them hope. You're the most giving dude I've ever seen. And what you just said is almost dying didn't do it for you.
No.
But the thing that changed is you watched a video and you want to help others. I'm just going to challenge you that in order to make this journey, you got to have some self-love, brother.
Yeah.
You got to look inside and say,
I'm a Dr. Failure right now because, first of all, let me tell you something. Let me tell you this right now. And I'm being very serious. I love you.
I love you too.
I love you. You're a motivator. You're an inspirer.
Right.
You give back, but right. There are goal setting techniques. And when you have a fear-based goal setting technique, which yeah. is a fear of dying, a fear of this,
sure,
it never it succeeds. You got to have a positive
base. Isn't that what you guys are doing though?
No, everything I do is out of
fail.
Everything's out of outcome.
Here comes the talk show host.
Yeah, we're probably but you asked the question, but I'll tell you, no. And I'll tell you why, because right. your objectives stay the same. Your plans may change, but your objective is not to die is wrong. Your objective is to live. Your objective is to inspire, uplift, and serve.
Love yourself.
Your objective to lose weight. Yeah, your objective to lose weight is to love yourself so that others can be inspired by you. If someone says, I want to lose weight because I'm fat.
But the journey, and this was Kristen's point. I don't want to misquote her, and she would say it better than I am, but she said, the first thing this guy needs to do is realize who he is.
Yeah.
Which is there is an incredible human being there that gives light to others and is one of the most loving and caring people I've ever known. And he needs to love himself and do this because he wants to live and give for decades to come. And then you can give back to other people.
That's positive based outcome.
She was shocked because she's like, hey, the first thing this white guy wants to do, he wants to do this for other people. He wants to pull other people along immediately. And she said, he will, as soon as he cares for himself and loves himself, and then is an example. Because how many people you think out there listening are suffering from the same self-doubt that you are?
Right. You're right. And that's how I really can motivate myself. Other times I've said I'm going to do it for myself, and it hasn't worked. So
I get it.
That's why I want to bring people along and see what happens. And trust me, I've done some things that I wouldn't have done already.
So let's talk about them. Within about a week.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking about.
You met with Kristen.
I did.
She was able to pull.
That's a pretty intense conversation.
Yeah. Oh, I can only imagine. In fact, I can't wait to get your take on it.
Yeah. I thought I was good to go.
Well, her point is she walked away just saying, this is a guy that I am committed to do anything for.
Thanks.
Yeah. But this is a guy who really needs to. Man, that guy's got to realize who he is and why.
Well, I think when you realize who you are and you have this elevated sense of importance, you don't relate to the people. You know, people are working hard each and every day, and I get to do what I love. Yeah. And that's really where I'm at. I mean, people, when you all of a sudden you're, you know, bougie, you don't have the connection with the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I want to go back to there's fear-based motivation.
Sure.
Which is
YouTube.
Yeah. Like,
okay, just get
the fear-based motivate. I want
me. I'm the self-love guy. That can go in a lot of other directions, but we'll just leave
a different program without Tommy. But we can talk about that later at late night. It's good. I'm not judging.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. No judgment here. So Tommy and I would like to announce something.
I don't think this is really going to make it to air, but that's okay.
This is avoidance techniques. I just want to tell you. He's so used to being the radio host. Yep. He's not used to being like, interviewed. Right. You're avoiding. Sure. But I do want to go back to it and just make sure I'm making this emphasis. In my entire life, I shared this with McLovin and these guys over here too. When my bout of trying to get out from where I was at, I was motivated through scarcity. I was motivated through fear. I never wanted to go back to where I was. And I set a bar. And that bar that I set was too low because my goal was to just get out from where I was. And I barely got out. And God above said, hey, you're out.
Right.
I should have set the goal of abundance, which is how far can I go? Because I have people to motivate, inspire, uplift, and serve. How far can you go? Another 50 years. And so
that might be overrated.
I don't
look
think
at
so.
The way the world's going. Here's another avoidance technique.
It is another avoidance
technique. Another 50 years, really?
But I'm going to challenge you right now because another 50 years, yes. Another 150 years, another 250 years. Why? Because this thing right here called technology, called radio, the voice that you deliver a message, the voice for the voiceless. And if you can do that for another 10 in healthy living, another 20 in healthy living, another 30, it lasts for 250. It lasts for 300. This is an archive technique that your voice will live forever. And it should. We got the neutering of the American male happening.
Wait, I thought you were asking me questions.
I am, but now I'm giving you compliments.
I appreciate it.
Here's the next question.
Hold Kristen, on. Wait a minute. Back to you.
Why, Kristen?
Yes.
Kristen got you into a doctor. Kristen got you into a doctor.
Yes.
So you went and saw an internal medicine doctor, Dr. Poignier.
Yes.
Who is also intense.
Yes.
In that's a very kind way.
Right. Very much so. Good times with her.
In a very kind way.
Yes.
So you saw her. How did that go?
I think that was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well. Very well. And we're going to have a stress test. EKG came back okay. Remarkably, my genetics are fairly good when it comes to cholesterol. So,
well, you were a bodybuilder at one
time.
Yes,
1986. Where were you in 86?
Yeah, 86. I was also a bodybuilder, amateur bodybuilder. Did the amateur bodybuilding league. I tried to do it. I did not qualify like you did.
Right.
Wow. So you qualified. I think you were at what, 3.5% body fat?
No, never.
Where were we at?
This was like with pretzels and stuff, bro. Maybe 8.
Still
10.
8. So you know how to do it.
But you see, that's what I told Dr. Poignier is that you have this false sense that you can turn it on and off.
Yeah.
And so you'll go hit a place. You remember this place, Chi Chi's Buffet, and you go to the buffet and you eat, and you get this feeling of gratitude and blah, blah, blah. And then you got to wobble out. But that, you know, and bodybuilders are very disciplined, but on the other hand, they're very dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's extremes and then food becomes your life.
Yeah.
You wait for that ice cream sundae or the pizza, and that is your existence.
Why? So back to his original question, because I think you skirted it, which you did great at it. Compliments to you.
Thank you, sir.
What's the motivation again? Why?
Because I've tried to do this in the past. I just am putting it out there. That's why I look like a, not really a Brad Pitt, not really a very indescribable young man, not a, God rest his soul, Jerry Garcia. But
well, like Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm, you know, maybe it's an 80s thing where you're going to shave your head and do all these things. But really to go through the process and either succeed or fail, but be there for everyone and to say, look, man, if you're by yourself, look, I've been places by myself, no family, no friends, fired, left out in the trash 10 days before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And food was my friend. My dogs were my friends. And to be that for everybody else. And when you say, I don't love myself, I do enough that I'm putting it out there for people and saying, look, man, I'm a flawed person. Look, I know people feel sorry for me sometimes when they see me and they're like, ah, Kev, he's okay. They look past my weight. I'm morbidly obese. I almost stroked out. And I still didn't get the message. Well, now I'm trying to actually get the message by going public and,
but you know,
being with everybody else,
at least for me, I'll tell you,
still trying to prove I love myself, but that would hit home.
It's a project, not a process. Or excuse me, it's a process, not a project. And I want you to know, it's a process,
yeah,
not a project. Secondly, I don't look past it. You are morbidly obese.
I am morbidly obese.
You are. All you did is have to ask. But if you think that other people are looking past, they're not. Now, other people may be passing judgment. And they are.
Well, but when you see, when you're in, you know, when we go to schools a lot and I see these kids and they're looking at me like, who's this fat guy? And maybe they're looking at me, maybe not. Maybe it's because of our childhood, but it's like, man, you got to be an example. If you're going to get on, and this is, you know, trying not to be a hypocrite, and maybe that's my motivation. If you're going to get on and say, no dope smoking, no this, property tax, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
To quote my friend, Mr. A, anti-developer. Well, then you should be able to
zing.
Right. Walk the walk.
Yeah.
And I want to say, well, you don't drink, you don't smoke, but we saw you at the Golden Corral. I understand that. I want to get control of that.
Okay. So let's go forward here. So met with Kristen.
Yes.
Met with an internal medicine doc.
I did.
Going to have a stress test. Going to get your heart checked out before we start this.
I don't fear the stress test either. They go, you okay? Well, buddy, you're going to waddle? I go, I'll waddle. I'm good.
Okay. So you're ready for that. You get that done.
Yes.
And then the plan is, this is the plan, that Kevin publicly is going to go through a transformation this year with the help of others and those that love him and his friends and the help of this team led by Kristen and
Troy.
I'll be there for you.
And you.
And me.
Yes.
You name it, I'll be there for you.
And an internal medicine doctor and a dietitian, which I think is one of the things I want to get into with you is.
You think that's overkill?
I don't think it's overkill. Here's my, I've read, well, for crying out loud, I went to medical school and tried to learn how to tell people how to manage their health for a living.
You got a point there.
And I feel like I didn't learn what I should have learned. Because.
But hold on. What does that say about you then? Hold on. What does that say about you?
So I think it says a few things. Mm-hmm. I think it says, one, are we teaching in America, and I'm going to get to some of this, the correct principles of eating, or how much of that is because of commercialization and how much of that is what big industry.
But you can't get around commercialization. But
you
I
can't. but I'm telling you as I think where I'm at now and the diet that I've now switched to now, that I think I probably can sustain at is very different than the diet that I've eaten for the last 30 years of my life. My point is in America, we have such a high caloric, such a simple carbohydrate based diet that it almost takes nothing to bury your daily caloric intake. It's almost impossible. If you eat a couple of pancakes in the morning and some fruit with syrup on it, and you go get a sub at, you know, a full foot long sub, and you go do some pasta at night and you only eat three meals, you're going to gain weight because it's so loaded in simple empty calories and simple carbohydrates.
It's simple carbohydrate. But let me answer. It's not overkill. Just answer for him and argue my own. It's not overkill because do you think praying too much is overkill? No. So to have that many experts around you.
I'm with you, but.
It's not overkill. However, I would say, you also got to look at setting your own definition of success, not somebody else's. So somebody else says you look this way, you should look this way. It's what you should look like. He's what, 6'5"?
Yeah.
He was
6'4" a minute ago.
I know, he was 6'4". He just grew an inch. Look at that. That's his confidence went up when he dropped the medical doctor thing on us.
Sure.
I have to emphasize my chair.
Troy, if we're in a margin of error of one or two.
Yeah, then it counts.
Whatever we're talking about, you just say yes.
Yes, that's right.
She said, are you 5'8"? I go, I am today.
But I want you to know his lifestyle is going to be different and his plan's going to be different.
And not to get too philosophical, but, you know,
bring it.
You're working for world domination. You're working, you know, to take over the state of Idaho, probably not politically, but I mean, okay. But
tried that and failed. Thanks for bringing that up.
Thanks. Jeez, that was just touche.
Look, we were just talking about, we had three people say they voted for you today.
Yeah.
We always talk about you on the air, but what I'm saying is putting your health ahead of your plans and your plans. It's the same problem I have.
But you are incorrect on your basis. Why? Because you just assumed I was working for world dominance and you assumed he was working to build Idaho. Hey. No, we're working to make a better community and people, and you are too. We're sharing the same objective, having you healthy, wealthy, and alive. That you know that have people that love you and support you. And everyone that's out there listening, that's the other thing. You got to know it's not about isolation. It's about
looking at the camera
inclusions. Well, it is. It's inclusions.
All right.
I'll ride the ride with you.
Now, listen to this. The other thing I'll tell you. My only point in bringing up my training is, you know, you get to 50.
Right.
Well, I'll just tell you. So, and he probably won't listen to this, so I can say this about him. my best friend did my heart surgery.
Okay? Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm on, this is what I mean by this. So I do a lot of research. Once I get my angiogram down, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm chucked full of plaque in my arteries. I'm going to change. I go to my doctor. She says, listen, you need to go to a low cholesterol, no cholesterol vegan diet. Here's all the articles.
Here's how to do it.
It will help reverse your cardiac disease. And for, you know, there's no atheist in a foxhole, man. I'm dying.
Yep.
And for 6 weeks, I eat great. I don't put anything bad in my mouth. I lose 26 pounds. I feel better than I ever have. And I go down to have my heart surgery in Salt Lake, open heart surgery. Okay. So I'm sitting in the hospital waiting for my surgery. My best friend from medical school is doing it. It's 11:30 at night. I'm NPO after midnight. He comes walking into the room and says, hey, I'm just here to see. I'm like, well, aren't you nervous about tomorrow morning? Why don't you go home, get some sleep? We laugh for a bit. And then he pulls out an extra large milkshake.
Yeah.
Gave me an Oreo milkshake. And I sat here thinking, well, wait a minute. That's my cardiac surgeon that's going to cut me open tomorrow. Just gave me a, 2,500 calorie Oreo. I haven't messed up for 6 weeks just for my surgery. And man, I ate that thing. It was awesome.
Sure.
But my point is the surgery's done and I'm done. And I'm like, you know what? I'm okay.
I'm good now.
I'm good now. Gained all my weight back plus some. And not until 3 weeks ago, Kevin, when I started having chest pain again, haven't been exercising, back into my same old habits, go back in to see my doctor. And she really looked at me and said, here's some nitroglycerin. You're an idiot. I mean, what do you want me to say to you? I mean, at some point, you're 51. You know what you need to do to live a long, healthy life. I can't do it for you. And if you aren't willing or able to love yourself and love your life and want to be here long enough, you will have another heart attack. You will have another heart attack and you will die from one of these. So are you ready to make a change? So
right.
Now I'm 3 weeks back into it. So for you, why I tell that story is some of this is aging. And you can abuse your body and make bad choices long enough. But now with your age and our age, we're all sitting mm-hmm. together.
Right.
What I love about 50. The timing you're doing it on, you're 50?
I'm 51.
Same age.
Right. Yeah. Be 50.
50. So 50, yeah. 51, 51.
It changes you, brother.
So we're
thanks.
Here.
Thanks for the
motivation. Question for me and what motivates me with you, Kev, is look at the good work you do in a year.
Yeah.
Look at the lives you affect in a year. It makes me really sad because when I see you, I love you, but I'm looking at you going, man, I know what hours this guy puts in. I know what strains he's putting on his heart and his body. I didn't know the story about your hypertension. I didn't know all the other health scares. You're going to die.
Yeah.
But Tommy, you got the same damn story though.
I do.
Here you do. And I'll point it out because you are exactly right. What you just said, we all have revisionist history. We all put others in front of ourselves.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, because by the way, you look great, but you didn't look great. I thought you looked great before the holidays, but now I look at you, I'm like, man, you're right. And so the same, we become muses. We can give great advice.
Right.
Don't follow them ourselves. I agree with you. I know you want to say something.
I got nothing after that.
So tell us how this is going to play out. Predict the future. What are your goals? What do you want to get out of this? I will say, because I know how you're going to answer this. You're going to skirt the question. I want to know how you're going to get what you want to get out of this for yourself
and
what you're going to get out of this for the people that you love.
I just want to motivate people. And you're going to say, what are you going to get? I'm going to get healthy. And, you know, you either, you know, that drug metformin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible drug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
type 2 diabetes.
Right.
Based on.
Yeah.
You think as a doctor, I heard it from him.
But one of the things that hit me is I was last year, I was a point away from being a full diabetic or a tenth of a point.
Yeah.
So then I hit the gym again, got rid of all the pains and stuff. And then I went back for my physical. And I was a point away from being pre-diabetic. And they go, dude, we're not messing with you anymore. You're on the metformin. Mm. And that thing just wrecks your system. It's like irritable bowel syndrome, in my opinion. But the point is it's made me realize that. And then I had somebody say, dude, you ever think about the surgery? The bariatric
surgery?
Right. Yeah. And I go, really? And they go, look, it works for a lot of people. And I know there are a lot of people that swear by it and it does work for a lot of people. There are a lot of people that have complications. And I go, when somebody hit me with that, I go, I'm either going to do that or it's, you know, the surgery. And I don't really want to nothing personal. I don't really come down with the surgery. I don't like people getting in there.
I agree with you. But the other thing I'll tell you about the surgery is how many people do you know that have the surgery works great.
Yeah.
And over time they adapt and gain all the weight back. That's also a very common thing.
Well, and not only that, but sometimes it messes with your ability to absorb vitamins and stuff. Yeah. I've seen that happen.
What is success for you? So you're starting this now. You're going to get your EKG, your stress tests.
My success is making a difference, both personally and and motivating others.
But you can't be ambiguous by making a difference. And I'm going to put you on the spot. We know that the SMART goals, specific, measurable, aligned, realistic, time-bound.
Is that SMART called again? SMART. Yeah,
dumb it down, get smart. Specific, measurable, aligned, realistic, time-bound.
SMART. Right.
When you
it's like your past and your present together. Yeah. Worlds colliding here. But anyway.
He's trying to skirt. I'm going to buy him a skirt.
No, I just no. You know, reason why I say that is
I want to get specific goals.
I'm with you to a degree, but I've had specific goals where I go, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm
not weight goals. I want mental goals. Specific mental goals. Because you so far,
do I look like I need mental goals?
You sound like you do.
Yeah.
You sound like you do. I'm being honest. You sound like you do.
No, and I appreciate that. Honestly.
Yeah, you sound like you do.
So let's talk through goals because I'm going to agree with Troy 100%. And I don't think it's just weight.
Yeah.
But it would be awesome if. I'm a big write them down thing, but we had a podcast on goals. Telling someone, I think that was one of Kristen's thing, is if you tell someone if there's accountability with your core group of what they are.
Well, that's why I'm going public.
Yeah.
And the weirdest thing is I've had people that listen to the program and they're cheering for me. I just mentioned this today and I didn't mention the prostate exam, but I did mention everything else.
Which was fun.
It was, and I just wanted. Do you want to share one point on that?
It was fun
for those of you listening on the podcast. There was a super awkward gesture.
Right,
it was fun.
Right,
finger pointed up in there.
Right, but people.
It's one of those days.
Yeah, people can relate to being heavy.
Yeah,
and you know people are you know we're I don't know what else to say. What I'm saying is. That I'm putting it out there, and that's why I'm going public. I don't want to do this mysterious before and after.
Yeah,
I want people to see the struggle because it will be a struggle.
So let me say this. You inspire excellence in me. You inspire excellence in Tommy.
Is this closing line? Because I have to say one thing before that. Well, it's very important.
You say it then.
Thank you. We've been joking about the prostate exam, and I will tell you this, that I've had my PSA test done year after year, and it's fine. But Larry Gebert, Channel 7 weatherman, said, Kevin, you have to get the physical test. That is one of the most surest ways to do it. And it was thanks to Larry Gebert, who didn't beat me over the head. He just mentioned that. And he had his bout with prostate cancer, who encouraged me to do it. I encourage everyone to do that. That is so important.
I had a very personal thing. In the last 2 years, I have had a very, very close friend and business partner and my uncle. Who have been able to catch prostate cancer, and my business partner is cured. You know, you always you're waiting to make sure that stays that way. My uncle is not going to make it.
Mm, God bless.
Sorry,
but it nothing could be truer than what you just said. The PSA is important. The exam is as important.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing I'll tell people, there is a misconception out there. If you have any elevation in that PSA. Go to the mat and make sure it's not cancer.
Yes.
A lot of primary care doctors will tell you that, it's just maybe a little infection or maybe it's a little inflamed. If it is elevated, go to the mat, see your urologist and make 100% sure it's not early cancer. Because if you catch it early, you live. If you don't, you die.
In our 20s, we make fun of the prostate cancer. We make fun of
from our 20s.
And now we're saying, get out there and do it.
Yes.
Kevin Miller.
We're going to do the closing line then?
We're not done.
Oh, that was quick. I thought we were done.
Not done. What are you talking about?
Here is wrapped.
I was just, he kept checking his watch. McLevin kept checking his watch and it was making me nervous. And I was I keep checking his watch.
The only other thing, give our listeners what they should expect out of this year from you. Check-ins.
Accountability. Authenticity.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do we find you? Where's accountability held?
Well, through various social media, we'll be doing it on the radio, on KIDO Talk Radio, but it's really a personal thing. And, You know, I'm just glad that you guys have taken me in to be a part of this. And that means a lot to me that you guys would give me the time of day.
What do you, you've been told everything that you need and you should do.
Right.
What does my friend Kevin Miller want that I can help you with? What do you want?
You know, you've helped me enough, both of you. I mean, it's, you got to be tough with me. You got to call me out. That's all. You have to call me out. And both of you have done a very good job of that today. Right. And I was serious with that about that too. But I mean, that you got to say no BS, man.
Okay. All I'm going to say is this. I was thinking about, so this last week, you know, we had our conversation. You met with Kristen. I knew you went to the doctor, but I hadn't talked to you.
Right.
I knew you were going to get a stress test because she knew that you were going to get a stress test. I want to leave you with a thought. And I wanted to make it real. One of our dear friends we have together is Reverend Bill Roscoe.
Yeah.
How old's Bill?
67, I think, 68.
That's what I was hoping, to find someone in our lives we knew.
Right.
You're 51.
Yeah.
What good, what lives will be blessed if Kevin Miller is going strong, serving, loving, bringing people along at 67? That's what I want. Selfishly, I want to be around this dude for the next 20 years. I want to watch what you do. I want to learn from you. I want to serve with you. And the only way that happens is if we get you to change. I'm all in, brother.
Wrap it from there. Wrap it.
Tommy, Troy, you continue to inspire us. And everyone, we urge you to strive for excellence.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.